This is episode 47 of Rat City Radio, formerly Epic Epoch Podcast. I am your host, Perry the Pig. With me, as always, is my my co-host here, who is very quick to remind you that I made a red ring with a Rune of Ascendance, and I tossed it on the ground, and I didn't realize it until three zones later. So I have now officially found a red ring of Atlaria, and I yeeted it out the window. And I'm not sad about it, but like, that was a pretty stupid thing to do, wasn't it?
You put the cookie down. That's what you did.
Yeah. You know what? I felt like it was too easy. You know, I wanted to feel like I worked for the Red Ring, and that was like, you know, my 10th Rune of Ascendance. So like, I want to grind for it. I need something to come hard. I should.
Yeah.
We're going to move on from that phrase. So how is your 1.1, buddy? I haven't been able to talk to you because we've been so busy.
It's been doing great, man. Like, 1.1 has been very good for the overall health of the game, minus like a few things, but like, they're like very small. A lot of things that I used to complain about and be annoyed about has been resolved this patch in a myriad of different ways, which we'll get into. But overall, I'm pretty happy with the patch. I'm excited. I bricked 10 Bane of Winters in a row. So I feel you, Perry. I also have had bad luck as well. And yeah, the Avalanche Shaman's been doing pretty good. It went way better than I thought it was. Turns out 4,800% added damage effectiveness is pretty good. Who would have thought? Mm-hmm. I had gigantic amounts of arguments with people in Twitch chat about the validity of using Spirigan Form for mana. That was fun too. Other than that, yeah, just been blasting some Last Epoch. I got my Avalanche build up into Corruption like 800. It was so quick. It was just like, bam, I was up there because of all the new stuff. Mm-hmm. And now I'm just trying to farm for my next build. And like, I'm not paying anything, by the way, for the Bane of Winter, the 1LP Bane of Winter. I'm paying like 10K gold at most, but it's just favor. So it's just like,
got to farm favor, farm the items, sure. So yeah. So you're currently playing a Avalanche Shaman, like a self-cast Avalanche, like not channeled thing. You're running around like with Spriggan Form as a mana battery. I'm also playing a Primalist. So I'm playing the Druid Swarmblade form with Serpent Strike. Before we get into those builds, I want to like back up to the beginning of 1.1. We had episode 46 of the podcast talking to Mike, the developer, talking about like what sorts of things we expect to see, how the boss fight's going to go, how launch is going to be. So like, how was like day one for you? Like what happened?
Day one, I streamed for way too long. I streamed for 26 hours straight.
Good God, dude.
I was trying really hard to get all my Harbingers done in one day, and I got 8 out of 10 Harbingers done in the first day. And after that, I did a little bit of pushing. I was trying to get to, what's his name? Aberroth. But then a Bleed Falconer ended up killing it instead. So so that that went how you thought it went. Also, one second. Cat? Hey, cat. Stop. One second.
God, 26 hours. Like, I'm a try hard, I guess. I play good builds. I stream for 8 hours, but like, good lord, 26, dude.
Oh, I did it out of like, it was because I was having fun. I was having fun.
Yes. One patch 1.1 is incredibly fun.
Yeah.
It's a video game. It's meant to be fun. It is so much fun. I love like interacting with the new systems. You and I share a very common complaint. But I love interacting with the new systems, Harbinger, Nemesis, new items, new uniques. I've got tons of build ideas for it to explore. Like, this is an awesome patch. Makes me want to play more games.
The way that I view this patch, what I've been calling it within my group of friends, has been the best patch Last Epoch has ever had released at the worst time possible.
Oh, right before the Boat League for Path of Exile?
Well, that, and then the Diablo 4 League before, after that, then PoE 2. Pretty much, this is like the patch. Like, if it would have been released like maybe a month ago, it would have been like banger, banger. Obviously, you know, that would have had its own problems with bugs and stuff like that. And the, you know, we definitely still have some bugs.
You better not be talking about my build. My build's not bugged. It's not bugged.
I know it's not bugged, but it is a bug. Get wrecked.
Man, Twitch chat will not stop reminding me. They're like, oh, your build is a bug. Of course it's bugs. Like, no, it's not. Stop it. Stop being cute. I don't want to hear it. So, all right. So, launch. I feel like my brain's been fried over the past couple of days. Just like playing so much, streaming so much. We like Twitch drops are going on as well. Like, I'm a little bit under the weather. Hopefully my voice is recovered. But I'm
it sounds fine for the most part.
Thank goodness. All right. It's all in my head, literally.
I just hear like, at the end of it, it's just there's this like very small amount of despair after you know, of course, the incident.
Listen, recently I had my Rune of Ascendance, I used it, I got the Red Ring of Atleria, and I was so excited, and then I just and I tossed it on the ground.
You know, you're never gonna get to live this down. Like, we're gonna remember this.
We'll get a new one maybe someday. Speaking of Red Ring of Atleria, I want to highlight a new unique item that people in Twitch chat have been asking me about a lot. And I made a joke about it. And I think the joke is like spot on. I think the Crab Ring is like Red Ring of Atleria, the leveling version. The Crab Ring is insane. It is so good.
How much movement speed does it give you?
20!
And is it attack speed, cast speed, or is it movement speed?
It gives movement speed, attributes, percent armor, and it's on a vitality-based type.
So the 30% attack and cast speed in Lich form died for this?
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
I'm ready to make fun of Lich form. The update that did for Reaper form as a Lich was like not the update that I thought it was going to be.
Oh my goodness.
But in any case, the Crab Ring's amazing. I want to use it on every build, and then you just replace it with a Red Ring when you get a Red Ring. It's really, really a good item. Low LP level, get it with 2 or 3 LP, easy.
When you get a Red Ring and keep it.
When you get a Red Ring and you don't yeet it on the ground, then you replace it. Yes, I probably should have done that. I'll listen to the podcast. I'll take my own advice. I'll do what I can do. So, I guess I'm going to go through my own build, but like the first ring is that one. Have you used the Phantom Grip build or the Phantom Grip ring?
No, my build doesn't really use it right now, but so, I plan on using it in the future.
Yes, Avalanche has strong. 9 base critical strike chance on it. The Phantom Grip ring, it's like a minion ring, but it has flat crit on it. It's so good. Like,
it's amazing how just sprinkling a little bit of base crit here and there can like make new builds possible.
It
like,
does. Instance, it really does, too.
I can look at Shadow Beacon now and actually look at it like it's a serious item. It's great.
Yeah, and like, you know, you don't necessarily need to use a Prismatic Gaze for your flat critical strike chance. You don't need to, like, look for all these wonky. Like, you have a ring. It's got flat crit on it. You can LP the ring, and it works. And it works for spells, works for melee. It just, God, what a nice addition to the game. Just like a little bit of breathing room for trying to make your crit builds work. I like it a lot.
Yeah, and there's like a lot of ring, like there's a lot of builds that have open ring slots can easily just dump it because like it's on a good base. It's on a copper ring base. Like it's the base you'd want anyways.
So build your crit, sure.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, that ring's pretty good.
All right, so we're probably going to keep circling back to the Red Ring incident because it just happened like five
minutes
ago.
It's okay. I just think it's funny.
I want to talk about... I didn't realize that you were pushing so hard trying to be like world's first for the boss kill.
Well, that's not necessarily what happened.
Go on.
What happened was there was a gigantic amount of miscommunication and misinformation that was coming to me. And I had been up for 20 plus hours, okay, at this time. I was being told that no one had killed the boss yet or no one was close. I was like, all right. I'm 8 out of 10. I might as well go try it, right? Thankfully, I didn't because my character was not ready for it at the time. But I was like, might as well go try it. But then literally like maybe an hour after that, because I was supposed to end the stream there, but people were like, but you're so close, Trent. You're so close. So I kept going. And then everyone's like, oh yeah, by the way, a Bleed Falconer killed it. I was like, really? And they sent me the clip. Didn't get to see a single mechanic on it. I'm like, oh, all right then. And then I went to bed. And then I went to bed. And then I woke up and then I tried it. And then I died enough times to lose my bet with Mike. But on purpose.
You're going to be buying a B suit for us.
I will be.
I love it. Okay, good.
So the reason why I'm happy I struggled so much a little bit, it took me a few tries. The reason why I like that is because obviously if you're going to play a build that deletes it, you're going to play a build that deletes it, right? Let's be real. Like, it's going to happen. People are going to do it. But for the people that don't, I wanted to actually know how to do the boss. Because, like, I'll be honest, when it comes to bosses in ARPGs, I have a very simple mindset when it comes to, like, Path of Exile and now Last Epoch as well, now that we have Pinnacle bosses. I'm not wasting my damn keys on trying to do the boss on a build that, like, kills him in, like, 4 minutes. I'm going to go roll a boss killer and do 100 keys in, like, a few hours and then do that. Because that's more financially and smart and responsible, right? And sadly, that's just how it is. Even in COF, it's just responsible for your time to not struggle against it. It's better just to take it. Because the way I view it is now we have the dungeon bosses, which are guardians, quote unquote, in my opinion. And then now we, and the harbingers too.
Sure, I follow.
And now we have Shaper, the equivalent of it. Now Shaper is a good fight, cool fight, but we all just kind of like face roll over it in that moment of progression now. And I think Aberroth is going to become the Shaper of Last Epoch in that regard, where it's going to be a good starting point, but then they're going to be adding more stuff in that, you know, essentially.
Yeah, this is not the end of bosses in Last Epoch. Like, yeah, this is a wonderful start.
This is something that we've been needing for a very long time now, like a very, very long time. Just like Mike and I were talking on the last podcast, like the casual player base needs something to aim towards that isn't just, I want to do 50,000.
Dumb. So one of the things that Mike said was, in that moment, he said he hopes that during 1.1, people evaluate builds on their capacity to deal with a pinnacle boss instead of how much corruption can they do. Do you feel that right now, like when you're talking to people, when you're communicating on Discord, Twitch?
Not really, to be honest, because like, so due to all of the changes that they have made with the corruption and all this, speed farming has now taken over the meta. Because now that your favor doesn't scale past a certain point, and same with your gold drops, the only thing you can do to improve your money or whatever per hour, right, or monos per hour, is by having a build that clears better and clears the screen better. And that is currently what is being used as what is being called quote unquote good. So like, for instance, your rinky dink raptor squad is going to be called very bad, while, you know, of course, if you have someone playing Tornado Weber, they're clearing entire screens at once, that'll be called good. Like, for instance, recently, so there was a bunch of other people that hit rank one before him, but someone in my Twitch chat actually hit rank one primalist for level 100s in softcore with the Tornado Werebear. And the only reason he did it and did so well with it was because of the long range on the tornadoes when he placed them down, right? So they like clear the whole screen. So it's just way more efficient with your time. And that is what it seems to be gravitating towards, is speed, because essentially the what do you call it? What's the word?
The golden for favor.
It? No, it's like the word like aspirational. Aspirational pushing on corruption has been essentially removed from the game for the most part. So now it's all about speed.
Well, instead of having like some floaty goal like 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, you have like the boss. You can kill the boss and you feel good about yourself.
Delete boss. Run through mono, kill everything, move fast. And I think that's overall healthier for the game for the most part. But there have been some sad side effects, which we'll talk about later, probably.
I mean, we can talk about them right now. So before we talk about sad side effects, let's clarify for the people who don't read every single dev comment and every single patch notes. So we said like gold gain is capped and favor gain is capped. There's no thresholds really when it comes to corruption. When you first get to empowered monoliths, you're at 100 corruption. When you get to 200 corruption, that's when you get 5 blessing offer chances, or 5 blessings offered to you instead of 4. So like 200 is a good benchmark. 200 also means you get the Omnis amulet when you're fighting a Shade of Erebus. So 500 corruption is a new breakpoint that we care about, because at 500 your gold gain from the echoes stops scaling up. So I don't actually know what's the next breakpoint after that.
For it's like favor. 700 with like favor. I think it stops at 1,000.
Okay.
I can't remember exactly, but I know that eventually, if you keep pushing, your favor gain will plateau.
Okay.
Like you can keep going, but it will start degrading.
Like, so you can say like at least 500 for gold, and like maybe you said 800 feels like a good spot.
I would
for
say 700, 800.
Gotcha. Okay.
It's like around there.
And you said there's a negative side effect of this. I kind of like this. Like if you want to do the hardest content, negative, you push corruption. But what about
the negatives? The negatives. Well, this isn't for me. Like it's great in Merchant's Guild land. Like this is what we've been doing the whole time for the most part. Most people, right? Other than the group players that'll push like really high, or if like you're abusing like the warlock stuff, et cetera, right? Or the old warlock stuff. But now the problem is COF. So it's not me, but specifically our friend Frozen has been messing around with the new stuff. And it happened exactly how I expected it to happen. It probably expected exactly how you were expecting to happen. The acquisition of gear in the late game for COF is now 100% indubitably significantly worse than, than it was before. Like it used to be decent if you were to push actual corruption to get that favor per hour because it kept scaling, right? That's no longer the case, which means they have to scale favor the way that we scale favor, right?
Which is speed.
But the problem that becomes, okay, I spend 19k favor to buy a 3LP item. It could be a 3LP Titanheart. It could be a 3LP this, a 3LP that. It doesn't matter. Any 3LP goes for 19k favor. In COF, you have to invest way more.
Yeah, like 19k favor is like
nothing.
Maybe one, maybe a prophecy, maybe two prophecies.
And that was the only quote unquote advantage that COF had, was they could go in really high corruption and get a lot of favor per hour by playing good builds, or really good builds, or bug builds, or whatever you want to call it at the time. And now that that's gone, all of a sudden you feel like you're neutered because you don't have that favor game anymore. Like for instance, like Frozen was like, hey, I just spent 700k favor and I got nothing for it. And like, mm-hmm. yeah, that sounds normal. It's just how COF does. It's like, mm-hmm. you need a lot of favor. And I think if they are going to at least even try to make the balance between COF and MG, they're going to need to do something about favor and COF specifically, because that seems to be the pain point. Because it's not like the prophecies themselves or anything like that, they're dropping enough items. It's just each one just costs so much favor now in comparison to the amount of favor that you have per hour. That is like the problem, the crux of the issue now. And I was like telling people last patch, everyone's like, oh, Dread, COF is fine. You just push to like 5,000 corruption, then you get plenty of like, you get plenty of favor. All the people at 5,000, everyone at 5,000 corruption in COF are pushing completely fine, and they have better gear than all the people in Merchant's Guild, except the people that are comparing themselves are the people who quit Merchant's Guild week one, mm-hmm. and they've been playing for months or whatever. And I was like telling everyone, I was like, guys, this is unrealistic. EHG does not want you to be up in that high of corruption. They did not mean you to get that high of favor. And because of this, as a result of this, favor is going to suck for COF. And that is why I'm always like, we should buff COF. It's like why when you guys, like the other patch, like podcast with Frozen, when I said, we should probably buff COF a lot. And you guys looked at me like I was funny. And I'm like, guys, you can't push corruption to get your favor back anymore, like your immense amount of favor. You're going to be stuck with like the amount of favor we get, and like it's not enough.
Yeah, yeah. So I want to highlight two particular things about COF that come to mind in that regard. One is something that while leveling felt way different, and it took me a while to figure out what it was, but someone in chat, Elweezy, pointed out that the old rank 7, which was a percent chance for a non-exalted item to drop as an exalted item instead. That got moved to rank 11. And my character's level 98. I'm not rank 11 yet. Like, I still haven't hit rank 11. And having that 25% chance, I think it's 25% chance for your non-exalted to drop as exalted really, really helps during the leveling process, because it helps you find relevant pieces of gear.
Yeah.
Like, that needs to be moved down.
I was on stream, and I was reading the patch notes, and I saw that change, or it was a developer blog, and I said, wow, COF is nerfed, what the heck? And everyone in chat was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Shut the fuck up. You have no idea what you're talking about. And I'm just like, now I'm hearing you say it, and everyone else saying about the rank 11 thing, I'm like, that's literally what I pointed out. Yeah, like, yeah, why are they 11, moving this?
In practice, the fact that it takes so long to get to rank 11, it's too much. That's got to be moved down. They did a good thing of moving the set one down. Sure, that's cool. They did a good thing with introducing that new 150% increased drop chance from bosses. And like, that's it counts as killing the boss two and a half times.
By the way, that is bugged right now.
Oh, is it bugged? I thought it was working as intended.
You can get multiple copies of the same unique from bosses with
Is that not intended?
My friend Pi, just earlier, I was watching him kill some Aberroths, right? And he dropped two Nihiluses off the same Aberroth because of that. And apparently, this is a thing.
Yeah.
And COF, you can, like, that 150% boss drop thing is insane for COF.
It counts as killing the boss 2.5 times.
Yeah, like, literally, like, I'll watch Pi, like, farm these Aberroths. It's like, oh, there's a full tab of uniques. Oh, there's a full tab of uniques. Oh, there's a full tab of uniques. It's, like, insane. And it's great. This is what COF needs. This is, like, the start of, like, what it needs, right?
It really is.
I'm fine with it. Yeah, yeah. It's just, like I said, now, like I said, the only thing I think the first fix would be to reevaluate how favor works for each faction, because I don't think MG is in a spot where I would call it unbalanced. I think it's fine where it's at, because it's like, I still have to farm the gold to buy that 3 LP Titan Heart, right? It's just the favor is just so out of whack and so unbalanced. It's like, it's crazy to think that I can get this item for 19K favor and you have to spend 2 million favor to get the same item. That is such a drastic difference.
I said I wanted to highlight two things. So the first thing was what I just mentioned with the rank 11, and I talked a little bit about the 250% or the 150% increase for boss drops. The second thing that I wanted to mention is that there are prophecies that exist that are absolutely garbage, and I would not recommend anyone, and they need to be upgraded, reduced in price, expounded upon. So there's prophecies, and like, so I do double plus and then item type. So I'll do like twice uses, drop twice as many items. It's like, those are my first two lenses, and then I'll do like rings. So I'll do like double plus ring, double plus, you know, whatever. So when you're doing that, if you get to like exalted, or sorry, not exalted, but like unique axes, for example, your unique axes are going to cost like 10,000 favor. And that's cool, you know. You get like a whole bunch of axes and you get to use it twice, like twice as many of them drop. It's pretty good. But if you want to do double plus axes and with guaranteed at least one LP, it costs like 39,000 favor, which is absolutely garbage. It costs like four times as much for the guaranteed one LP. It's a huge trap. First of all, zero LPs are literally good because now we have egg, and we'll talk about the egg in a second. Second of all, even in patch 1.0, before the egg existed, you'd much rather gamble on doing the no guaranteed LP thing. So we've talked a little bit about, like, you know, in terms of COF, what should be the price for this? I don't know if it's a price fix. Should it be a guaranteed 2 LP? Maybe it should be guaranteed 2 LP. Maybe it should be guaranteed 3 LP. Like, is there a price point in favor? Like, what if I paid 100,000 favor? Can I pay 100,000 favor for a one-time thing that guarantees 3 LP? Is that too much? But like, I think that should be tested internally. Like, zero LP to one LP, like, one LP is garbage. Like, I don't even want to see one LP items. I'd rather see zero because of Nemesis.
Or maybe like rank effects instead of with the set one, stinky set one. It'd be like Rune of Ascendances have like twice the chance of getting LP.
That's
on
great too. I'll take that. But yeah, that would even like, work well with the other ones that
could,
already exist.
Like they could fix this problem very easily with a few changes. Like obviously, I'm not a game dev, so I'm not going to armchair game dev.
But I like armchair game dev.
But part of the issue was because of the imbalance of the favor and the corruption and the bills and everything last patch. We never got to see what the real problem was. I saw what the real problem was. Everything that everyone's complaining about now is everything I was complaining about last patch about it. And it was like, it's cathartic to know that at least I knew somewhat what I was talking about with it. And now that like it's happened, I'm like, well, now that it's fixed, now they can fix it again, essentially. Like they now that they can finally actually see what the actual problem is, which is the favor gain, they can fix that in some way. I think rerolls cost way too much.
They cost like 300.
Either the reroll needs to go in some way or less, or more lens slots. I think more lens slots would be cool because you could have more control.
Totally.
Literally, they could bump it up to 6 lens slots. I don't care. Like I don't know how, like I've talked about this before, like I said with the Frozen podcast with him, right? And you guys were like, oh my God, Dredd, you're so crazy. Why do you think they need to take drastic measures for COF? I'm like, well, I mean, look at it now. It's just like people are like struggling to get anywhere near the amount of same gear that they used to, which to be honest, the gear that they were getting in like 5K, 6K corruption was like a fair amount of gear. It's not like as if like they were like, remember, they were playing for months. They were playing for months. If I'm playing for 3 months, I should be able to farm for a 1LP red ring. Okay? Yeah. Like, I should be able to farm for, like, my 3LP Exanguinus. I should be able, like, if I'm going to farm for 3 months, I should eventually be able to get these things. Like, if I'm going to farm 3 months straight. And that's what they were doing with the old favor system. And now that that's gone, it's like,
imperfect system, but it has lots of levers on it. Like we can spitball and list off 10 different ways that they could adjust this, adjust that,
yeah,
and influence how we play the game. And I think that's a good thing. It needs iteration.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still having fun. I have 3 things that I want to talk about at least. We're about half an hour into the podcast here, and I'm sure we have plenty to discuss.
Oh yeah, easily.
So I'm gonna offer 3 ideas, and you tell me which one you want to talk about first. So we have Nemesis, we have Harbinger, including the boss, and we have the big complaint that you and I share about the worst part of Last Epoch.
We can talk about that part, that thing, the last thing, because I've actually changed my tune on that. Actually,
oh, okay. So I'm gonna set it up. This is conversation you and I had previously. I think we were in agreement. I feel pretty strongly about it. So let me lay the groundwork for this and like what's bad about Last Epoch before. So in patch 1.0 and everything prior to that as well, I felt as though the worst part of Last Epoch is when you first got to empower monoliths. I like that the game kind of opens up. You get to discover what you want to farm. Like you get to do whatever you want to do. Like that's the end game and you choose your own path. But you need to go to one monolith and like you start at 100 corruption and then you farm your blessing. And then you go to the next monolith and you start at 100 corruption and you farm your blessing. And then you go to the third monolith and you're at 100 corruption again, and then you farm your blessing, and then you go to your next monolith, and you're back at 100 corruption. You spend a lot of time at 100 corruption, and you need to farm your blessings, because those are player power. So then it felt like after you finished getting all your blessings, even min-rolled blessings, even just like something that, you know, had your character pointing in the right direction, it was like, okay, deep breath, breath of fresh air, now I can finally play the game. And that point of the game that I think is the weakest for Last Epoch just got way longer. So now, instead of just 100, do your blessing, 100, do your blessing, now, like, your character this whole time is getting stronger and stronger. You have 100, do your blessing, do your harbinger, 100, do your blessing, do your harbinger. And then if your blessing was wrong, you need to do that one again, but you'd rather be over here instead to do a different harbinger. And you have to bounce around to, like, all, you know, 9 or 10 monos in order to get all your harbingers, and like some of those are not even blessings that you care about, and like if you missed a blessing you need to go back and do it again, and like it really took a long time for me, it took a long time. It took a lot of mental energy of me to spend that much time.
It took me 25 hours to get 8 out of 10. So
it took a long time, a lot of mental energy to remain at 100 corruption when my character was way stronger than it needed to be at 100 corruption. It felt like I was doing chores. It felt like I was doing homework. And it got longer during patch 1.1 with the introduction of like your path to get to Aberrath or whatever his name is, instead of like 1.0. Like I want something that allows me to find an Aerobus faster. Cause at multiple points I was like, okay, I've used my envies, I've used my needles. And the only thing that I'm waiting for at this point is finding a shade of Aerobus in order to increase my corruption. Like, could I have the corruption boatman? And he's like, oh, if you pay me a fee, I'll take you to the nearest shade of Aerobus. Please, God. Like, that's a solution. It's not the only solution, but I felt like that so often. And it was such a slog, and it felt like homework. Ugh, I just need to get that off my chest.
So
you were agreeing with me, and apparently your tunes changed. What are you thinking about that?
So the reason why it's changed a little bit is because there's multiple different reasons. The first one I'm going to list is there's a lot of people that kind of like complain a lot about Linus Deepak in terms of the end game, where they're like, I get two empowered monos and there's nothing for me to do. Well, guess what? You got something to do now. Obviously, it's a little too much, right? But at the same time, it's there, right? Now, the second thing that I'm going to bring up is I like it a little bit, mainly because for a very long time now, ever since I started playing the game, there has been an insane imbalance from how much XP you get from killing monsters in the early game, okay? Whenever I'm in like a level 40 zone of the campaign, I'm level 30. When I'm in a level 50 zone, I'm level 40. When I'm in, Fall of the Outcast, I'm 10 levels under. And I'm always like this the whole entire time, all the way up. But my character's strong enough to do it all. But and it frustrates the hell out of me because I'll be doing a timeline that's 20 levels higher than me. I'm able to kill the monsters. Everything dies quick. The boss dies quick enough. I'm doing all this, right? And then I drop an item that I can't wear for 20 levels.
And worse yet, you can't even craft on it.
Yeah, it's so frustrating, okay? And that keeps going all the way up until empowered monos. And then when you get to empowered monos, you're level 70 and the content's level 100. And at the last patch, you would keep pushing corruption, right? You'd be level 70 in level 100 content that is multiplied by however much at 300% corruption, right? And that was enough of a difficulty curve for a new player to make them not want to play in empowered monos. I see very large amount of people, when they get to empowered monos, they try pushing any amount of corruption and they fall flat on their face. The amount of videos I've seen of people like, hey guys, here's my build, right? And it's them in normal, empowered monos. And it's usually because of that point, because to push past that part, you're level 70, right? You need 30 levels of power. You should be 30 levels above, but because of the way the XP works, I'm level 70, right? And I think EHG has kind of like leaned onto this fact that everyone's going to be this level with the power level of certain enemies, right? When you get to like the 55 mono, you're level 40, and all of a sudden, like remember like back in the day before they started making the buffs to the enemies, where like you'd go to the 55 mono and you'd be level 40, and like, you could just wipe them out easily, right? Even though you're 15 levels under. Well, they buffed them because we were getting them to there at level like 40. But guess what? We're still doing it. We're still doing fine. We're still like, and it's like, well, Dread, shouldn't you slow down? The problem is, if I slow down, that what you said, the worst part of the game, in my opinion, The worst part of the game is the campaign. Not because, like the campaign's bad or anything, but I just don't want to be there. I want to be in endgame, right? And to do that, you know, we go fast, et cetera. We don't kill all the monsters, but I feel like I kill a decent amount of monsters. I don't know if you've ever felt this, but isn't it, like, weird how little XP you actually get in zone sometimes? Even with ignoring, like imagine you're on the level of the zone. It feels like you get potatoes. But then as soon as you get to empowered monos and start pushing corruption, it feels like way better. You get to 100 quickly. But up until that point, it's like glacial pace.
Including the nerf to the experience tomes as well, which mm-hmm. really hammers home the experience gain or the experience nerf, or like how long it takes, like the 97, 98, 99, 100. Like tomes aren't even helping you as much there anything. Yeah, the race to 100 looked like a slog. There are some people doing cheesy stuff during this patch as well, like resetting like low level zones with high density. I hear what you're saying. So I was talking about the worst part of the game, and you seem to say that at the beginning of Empower Monoliths, it's better to drag out that part of the game because it gives your character a chance to like naturally catch up in levels and gain more power. And then you start progressing your corruption after that. So like maybe for you and me, it's frustrating, mm-hmm. but like for a new player, I guess we got to find some new players. Maybe for a new player, it seems like a more natural progression in player power.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And that's like the problem that I think needs to get fixed eventually, because like that's compounding all this fact. The reason why you feel that way is because like you're level 75 in a level 100 zone and you have items in your inventory that require level 85 to mm-hmm. put on, and you can't put them on, but I have to go fight a few harbingers first before I even get to touch them, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, why can't I put these on? These are level 100 content, right? And that's why I like that. Now, obviously, this is a fault of the game for making it so that we're level 70 when we get to empowered monos, right? Like, obviously. So that shouldn't be the case. Like, that the thing you bring up with, like, oh, this feels like such a slog, that should be the thing, right now. But it doesn't feel like it that much to me because, like I said, it actually gives you breathing room for a moment.
Mm. So now, I think about like being an experienced player myself and like mm-hmm. having that breathing space. My breathing space when I get to Empower Monoliths is what I do and what I recommend to people is going around and getting all my blessings first. But that's only something I do because I think it's the right choice. Like if you were a new player, you might just push corruption immediately and then you wouldn't have all that player power and you wouldn't have had that breathing room. So this mm-hmm. this kind of forces it on you in like a narrative kind of way.
Yeah.
Where it's giving you like, you know, go here, go there, do these quests. All right.
Because you are heavily, and I mean heavily incentivized to finish the Orbis grind. I mean the Harbinger grind. Mm-hmm. Because once you have access to killing a Harbinger every single time you kill a monoboss,
makes it so much easier.
It opens everything. Because you go from 300 corruption to 600, then 600 to 900. It's that quick. And the reason why I like this so much is what is event essentially done is it's made the original grind for each season a little bit longer, a little bit more annoying, right? I get it. It's annoying. It trust me. I agree. Now it's a little more annoying, but now after that, it is so much better that I'm completely willing to take a bullet for the early game being a little worse every patch. Kind of like, you know, when you get your Atlas tree done, right? You know, it feels great, but getting your Atlas tree done feels awful. But then once you actually get your Atlas tree, it's great, right? You get all your Atlas passive points, you get all your maps completed. And then this is like the same case in this regard. It's just the same thing. Now,
I'm with you. It feels like I had a big, like a weight off my shoulders when I finally killed my first Aberroth. Like, I can finally play the game. I can finally do what I want to do.
We need to apologize, by the way. Remember when we were saying that, like, oh, everyone's like, oh my God, Glyphs of Envy are like weird design space. Like
they are, extremely weird.
Oh my God. Oh, they're so good.
They're so good.
Glyphs of Envy are so good. Oh my God.
I wish I had a million of them.
they are amazing. Like, I'm sorry for every single bad thing I said about them.
It's a weird design space. kooky item. Can't imagine that they came up with it, but
yeah,
love it. Wish I had a billion.
Yeah, it's literally like I have 70, and when I level alt, I'm just like pop,
boop, 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 pop, boop, 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 yep, pop. Done. Oh, it's gonna be so good. Uh-huh. I can't wait to level a second character.
So that's, I think the problem is, so the problem that's gonna become now is the initial grind is significantly more than it ever has been, right? It's like maybe doubled or tripled in size to get everything set up because you have to get your blessings and your harbingers at the same time. Thankfully, you can technically do both at once. That's what I did, by the way. What I would do is I would go to a harbinger, get the harbinger, and then if I still need that blessing, I just stay in that mono and keep pushing the corruption until I get the blessing and then move on to the next one. Mm-hmm. And it was comfortable for me because then by the time I'd get to the next mono, I'd have like a lot of catch up.
Mm-hmm.
And I saved it. And that was great. But now what's going to happen is this actually hurts the casual player a lot in general, because they're going to get to empowered monos or they're going to get to that first, like that first 90, like harbinger, man. Like
I've heard complaints from
even
new players.
Even I struggled.
The like, very first harbinger that you fight right before you enter empowered monoliths. That's it. Like if it kind of surprises you too.
If you choose the wrong one, you're fucked. Like it's just that bad. Well, bad. I like the added difficulty. I feel like EHG sometimes they use like kiddie gloves, mm-hmm. and I want them to like use real boxing gloves. I want
If you can't kill this thing, maybe you're not ready for empowered monoliths.
Yeah,
maybe. But I will say like now, the spirits of fire one is pretty toxic for melee. But go ahead.
The problem though is with the way that people act when it comes to these kind of things, when they hit a wall in progression like this, they treat it as though it's a problem with the game and not a problem with their build. Like, obvious, like, I've seen so much complaining about, like, the Harbingers being bull and all this and all that, and it's like sometimes, like, you need a kick in the nuts, you know? You know, like I like how difficult Aberroth was when you get to him. Obviously, you know, we're deleting him and stuff like that, but that's a topic for another day. But like in theory, that's what Aberroth is supposed to be. But yeah.
So that's our talking about what I would call the worst part of the game and like you reconceptualizing it as just like drawing out the breathing room for getting your character up and running in a power monolith for a new player. I had two other things that I wanted to talk about for sure before we kind of bounce around to other topics. So one would be Aberroth plus Harbingers, and the other is the egg in these trying times. What do you want to talk about?
We can talk about the Harbingers themselves.
All right. So I love fighting the fat one. I don't have... I love the fat guy.
Oh,
dude. He's got a big ass hammer. He's got cool animations. I like him.
For the most part, if we were to do like a tier list of which ones were the most difficult, the envy ones are on always up there, while the fat ones are below.
Yeah,
the only fat one I had any problems with was
Spirits of Fire.
I can't remember. I think Spirits of Fire wasn't hard. It was just hectic.
It was a lot. There was a lot to deal with for a melee character.
Yeah. The Rye one, the Rye fat boy was the one that was most difficult for me for the fat ones. Like it was like that was the hard one for me. Like that one took a little bit of brain power. It was just like, oh, obviously all the envy ones were way harder. Like the Lugan one. Oh my God. Shoot me. That was so bad.
So the Lagan one, there's two arenas in Lagan. There's the shelf and then there's the proper arena down below. They should take the Harbinger fight to the arena down below. Right. Yeah. Right.
That's hard.
Is it?
Okay.
There's no room to navigate up there.
Just, my problem here, I think that ARPG boss design is ready for some amount of creativity, okay? I think every single arena being a big fat circle, every single thing, you know, being like a circle or like a square or whatever, right? Every single boss either being stationary like Katava or being like one big boy, right? These bosses that we're dealing with all the time, right, in normal ARPG gameplay, I like them. But I also wouldn't mind it if they just like mix it up a little bit. And I appreciate the idea of making you fight at the top with it. I love it. Obviously, they might end up changing it because plenty of people will complain about it, because, you know, this is you know, the internet after all. But I like it being up there because I'm so used to the circle arena and all that. Like, just changing where you fight the enemy changed that fight significantly. I enjoyed that.
Would you say that it made it more memorable for you as well?
Yeah, way more memorable. Like, it was like actually like it was way more fun. And like, I enjoyed it significantly. And I think that right there, like, just new stuff. Like, don't get me wrong, like, Aberrath is cool. Okay. Aberrath is cool. Okay. Don't get me wrong. But it just, like, I've played Lost Ark before. Aberrath just felt like a Lost Ark boss fight.
It's like big boss, big circle, walk around. Yep.
And, like, it was literally, like, copy pasta, like, Lost Ark for the most part. And I'm fine with that. But I also liked the idea of putting the stupid mobile one up in the Lugan Arena. I found that very entertaining, to say the least.
I like it. I will say, for the Aberrath fight itself, I think it's an amazing...
Oh, I think it is too, but I'm just saying...
It's an amazing harbinger of things of things to come, of like boss fight design in Last Defy to come. Like, I look forward to the next thing now. It can
be amazing, but also vanilla, if that makes sense, right? Like Aberrath is amazing. I love Aberrath for the most part. I don't really have too many problems with them, except for like maybe visual clarity, but that was just a skill issue. I'll be honest. If we did this podcast like a day or two ago, like maybe yesterday before I killed Aberrath last night or whatever, I'd be like, fuck Aberrath. Aberrath sucks so much.
The last phase is too hard.
This is dumb. The visual clarity is through the... No,
I think the visual clarity is amazing.
It's just... well, I just didn't understand the concept of... Okay, this is weird. So you know like the big AoE he does?
Yeah, you stood in
the
last
phase.
Yeah.
I stood in it. Now, the problem is it's hard to communicate that the AoE that he does isn't big enough to cover the whole small area you have.
True.
Okay.
True.
Now, I am used to Last Epoch bosses going wherever they please, because usually, like a lot, like if this was their old design with like T4 Jirla, he would have sat in the middle and gave you no room to dodge whatsoever, and you would have died.
So you're not used to having good bosses.
I'm not used to the boss not being like Herod and shoving his face in the wall. It's like, can I get in the wall? Can I get in the wall? Or like T4 Jirla sitting in the middle of the stupid boy beam. Like, I'm not used to that. I'm not used to like. What's the word for it?
Having proper spacing.
Spacing.
Working as intended. You know,
sure. Because I was like, wait, you mean there's a space? Like, as soon as I realized that he stays at one of the sides of the arena and makes sure the circle doesn't hit the whole thing, I was like, all right, good. But how do you communicate that to someone?
Mm-hmm. Trial and error, I think. You get 10 attempts. Your very first time, you get 10 attempts. I think that's a good way of communicating it.
Yeah, I agree. I enjoyed it. I will be wearing the B suit with pride.
Love it. Love it. I will say, before anyone in Twitch chat watching here live asks, I'm a very bad person to ask about how the Harbingers are. How do you deal with their mechanics? Which one's hard? Which one's easy? I have no idea, because I have more single target damage than I've ever seen in this game. So I just...
I have a tier list in my head of them if we want to go over them. We can go over them.
I actually don't want to do that right now, because like we got so many tier list episodes.
We can do that next podcast. You know what?
Yeah, we got tier list episodes coming up. Don't worry.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah.
So we're going to move on to my last predetermined topic of conversation. And that
boiled
is
boiled eggs.
That is the eggs. Oh my God, the eggs. So for anyone who's living under a rock, let's run it down real quick. So we have two big mechanics that came in for patch 1.1. One was the Harbinger system, including the Pinnacle Boss system. It's like a new faction with a Forgotten Knight. So we just talked about that. And the other thing is Nemesis. So Nemesis is the content. It's kind of like an exiled mage. He's a dude. You encounter it when you're doing your regular echoes. You walk up to it. You click, I want to fight. I want to empower. Or I want to leave right now. You click one of those buttons. It's a very, very easy piece of content to interact with. It's smooth. Doesn't really get in the way. I love complaining about spires because spires are annoying. But outside of the spire thing and like the fact that they shoot you while you have your UI menu up, like I could do without that. But by and large, the Nemesis system is amazing. And I every time that I get offered an egg, I'm so happy. The text that pops up on your screen, it says like the remains of the Harbinger's enemy lingers nearby. I'm like, oh, say the word. I got it.
I had an epiphany with the Nemesis mechanic. I wasn't mixed, but I was like, that's my pop filter, Idiot Slayer. I know. It's flavorful for the stream.
You do have a sock hanging in front of your face, yes.
Yes, I do. It's a clean sock, so don't get any ideas. So I had an epiphany recently. I wasn't completely sold on the Nemesis mechanic, but then I started like engaging with it more and putting things in the egg, and I got like a T6 health null portent for free. And I was sitting in my friend's Discord, and my friend's Discord is filled with Path of Exile players. Okay, they're filled with hardcore. I play Path of Exile for like 2 months out of the league, and then I go and do other things like draft on Magic the Gathering or whatever, stuff like that, right? And I was just sitting here doing the mechanic because I'm like the ugly duckling because I play Last Epoch, but I was just like, wow, guys. Is this what a leak mechanic feels like? I haven't had one in like 4 years. And they're like, yeah, it is. Isn't it great? I'm like, yeah, it's amazing. Because remember, like, you can explain it if you want, Perry, but like we had a very long time since we got actual, like, you know, end game stuff to interact with. And even the most simplest of mechanics, like the Nemesis system, is just a breath of fresh air in comparison. It's nice to be able to look at an item on the floor, like a unique, and realize it has potential outside of not having potential, which is kind of funny.
Potential outside of having like one LP.
You know, every item has potential if you look hard enough, sir.
I love the reevaluation that it's made for zero LP items, because we also just got an update to our loot filter in 1.1 where we can now filter for LP. So maybe instead of hiding zero LP, maybe you just recolor zero LP, or maybe you just hide one LP because I'd rather have zero or two instead of one, which is the wildest thing. I love the reevaluation of items based on new mechanics.
The meme of like, I'd rather see a zero LP than
I would. I would. It could be anything. It could even have two LP when it's done. I've put in a Ivreen, and now I've got a two LP Ivreen. I put in a Bane of Winter, and now I've got a tier 5 attack speed, tier 5 crit multi. Bane of, it's so cool. It's so easy to interact with. And like,
I put in a red ring. If I had one,
I will ban you from my own podcast. You stop that right now. Well, listen, if I had Red Ring, I'd put it in. I had one. I no longer have one. I don't know what happened with it. So the fact that the entire system, it's so simple. And like, you kill a monster. It's a simple UI. You kill a monster. Mm. You move on with your life. That's the kind of mechanic that I want in an action RPG.
I think it the only so problem well. I have with the Nemesis guys is they share the same tragic fate that the exiled mages have, where I don't know if we're just too good at the game. So if someone that doesn't play as much as we do in the chat can say something, right? Are they too squishy? Obviously, you're playing a build where you have no fucking clue what that means, right? but I'm playing a build that stun, like, you kill them and I stun lock them. Are they just too squishy? Okay, Twitch chat is telling me they're too squishy.
They're squishy, and like it's I imagine playing like a trap or mind build in Path of Exile.
And
like you have a monster, yeah. you put a bunch of traps under it, it spawns, you blow it up. Like any monster like that, you're gonna blow it up.
And the problem is, right, they're squishy and they do a decent amount of damage. The poison one can catch you off guard sometimes. The cold one can too, right? But the problem is there's no risk. Right? If you die, you don't lose your stuff.
Which was a miscommunication right before the patch launch. Yeah, you never lose the item. You cannot lose the item.
And that makes it so that there's this weird thing where, like, everything about the mechanic is great, except for the fact that the mob is too easy. Like, for instance, when I would do a league in Path of Exile, right? I would clear a screen of, like, expedition monsters, and they drop loot. The expedition monsters, they're scary, right? Like, they obviously, like, you can kill them easily if you have the right build and all that. But like, at day one of the league, they can still, like, one-shot you out of nowhere, right? They're evil, like, the expedition monsters specifically, right? Like, fully juicing a crucible, right? Mm-hmm. And I think there needs to be a concession. It either needs to be you lose your stuff on death or something, or lose a random item in it. So what would happen is if you die, it would choose a random item, gone. So the item you're incubating could be a 1 in 4 chance to lose it, right? And then you do it normally.
Mm-hmm.
That could be the way if they want to do that. Or they could just make them a little bit harder so that they don't just instantly die. Because I'm stun locking them with Avalanche. I have like 600% stun chance. I'm just like, bam, bam, mm-hmm. bam, bam. And they don't do anything. Like, that's fine. I don't mind the no punishment, but if there's going to be no punishment, it should be a challenge to kill them, right? Like, if the Harbinger is, if the Nemesis is hard and it takes me some effort to kill it, I don't mind if I die mm-hmm. to it. And then, like, I don't mind that because it's penalizing me in terms of time. But the problem is right now, it's this perfect combo of them being too squishy and not losing anything on death, which means that, like, they don't, like, they feel rewarding, but not in the way that, like, I killed a boss and I got a good drop from. It's
you're never proud of yourself for killing the guy.
You know, like the boxes, like the boxes we have now?
Sure. Okay. Right? The chests.
Like, I don't like Lasokius, it's okay if I'm wrong, but I'm just simply bringing up an issue with the mechanic. Like, they are too squishy. They are 100% too squishy. Like, even for a casual player, they are too squishy. They are just so like, there is no reason I should be in 700 corruption and I'm stun locking one and watching it die in like 5 seconds. Obviously, like, you know, whatever, call me whatever you want to. Call me whatever you want. I don't care. But I just think they're too squishy.
I'm going to step in for a moment because we got some people who are watching mm-hmm. live in Twitch chat right now who are disagreeing with you. So you and I both have good builds. But I think a lot of people agree that there's no inherent risk in it. So the worst thing that could happen is you kill him, the items drop in the ground, and then you die to something that was off screen.
Like a spire.
And okay. So that's the absolute worst thing that could happen because then you actually lose the loot. But upon clarifying that you can't actually lose an item, even if you die to the Nemesis monster himself, there were people in my Twitch chat and people in Discord saying, like, it feels weird having a mechanic like this where I put my item into the egg and I'm not risking anything. Like, there will be a good outcome. So Last Epoch has approached that in a particular way, and you actually already addressed it yourself, saying that, like, I wish that they punished you based on time. So think about, like, the differences between, like, hardcore and softcore in Last Epoch. There really is not that much of a difference. Because when you are doing an echo, if you die, you don't have 6 portals. You lose the reward, and you lose your progression in your monolith web. You lose something that you haven't had yet. So you never get something and then lose it. That doesn't happen in Last Epoch. But you could lose time. So what if it took more... Okay, so there's like the three red orbs at top, and like you click empower, and then you kill it. What if when you died to it, it added one more empower? So like you, oh man, I died to him. Now I have to empower it three times instead of two times or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, like just like, something that adds like an extra grind is, and like, to punish
obviously,
you for
it. Whatever we say, it doesn't matter. It depends on what EHG is okay with in this regard. Like, all I have to say is they just are too squishy. Like, even if they didn't change, the way the rewards work,
yeah,
they need to change the tankiness of them, because it's so anticlimactic to be like, oh my God, this nemesis has like a red ring within it with like, you know, like T7 health on it or something. Oh my God, I want to get it. And then like you open it and he's like, stun, dead. It's like, there's your red ring. And then you just drop
it. It feels more like a loot box than it does an ARPG encounter.
And I don't want it to be a loot box. I like the thing is, the Harbingers themselves, they do appropriate amounts of damage. Yeah. I'm playing a tanky build. They can kill me. They can definitely kill me. They have the damage for it. They just don't get to do anything.
Mm-hmm. So it seems like between like you and me and Twitch chat, we have a lot of like different issues with Nemesis. Like we all love it. We love Nemesis. Yeah. But like maybe they're too squishy. Maybe they're not, like, they doesn't feel good to kill them. Maybe they just don't feel consequential as a monster type. Or like it feels weird that my loot, it has no risk to it. Like something good always happens. Something's not quite there yet.
I think if you put something into the egg, it should be harder than a normal one, right? Like,
because you're giving him something, right?
You're giving him an item.
That's interesting.
Depending on the rarity of the item, they could like do like it based on LP level.
Yeah,
he gets a buff based on the LP level of the item. If I put like, I don't know, let's say like a Ravenous Void inside of him, he better like come out punching, and like, you know, it better be like at least a minute fight.
What's funny about that is that's kind of already baked into the LP system. Because you need to do a tier 4 Jewelra in the Temporal Sanctum to do Ravenous Void, or to do Marina's Lost Wand, or to do an Aurora's Time Glass. Because those have high level requirements, you need to be in tier 4 to do that. So it's inherently riskier to get that done. I wonder if there's something in that. Like maybe if you want to do a higher base type or higher LPL level or higher item requirement, you have to be at least 300 corruption. Yeah, like, inherently, like, the monster's harder.
If you look at him, right, and he has four different rewards that isn't an egg, and you kill him, maybe the current state of how squishy he is fine, right?
True. Yeah.
But if you are putting an egg, if you're putting something inside his egg, oh God, if you're putting something inside of him, it should be more difficult. I'm dying. I'm sorry.
Can I click that?
Yes, you can.
Are we still doing phrasing?
Why not? Why not? They're the ones that called it an egg. Okay, they're the ones that called it an egg.
So the egg is amazing. We have some kind of complaint. It's hard to put your fingers on it, but there's something about the egg that is just deeply satisfying, and it makes me want to gamble every single zero LP item that I have.
It's really good to know that the only way to make the mechanic feel the best mechanic ever is by just making it so you get to actually fight the boss, right? Yeah. Like, that's good. That means that they did everything right, except they were too like cautious with the numbers. Kind of like the Exiled Mages. Like, the Exiled Mages, like, I don't mind the Exiled Mages being glass.
When you're leveling, the Exiled Mages have an appropriate difficulty. They are fucking scary.
I think I like the idea of the Exiled Mages being glass cannons, right? Because they just have really good abilities, and they like kill, they can kill you and stuff like that with really high damage numbers. But the Harbinger, the Nemesis, they're literally walking bodies of armor. They shouldn't be just like falling over like a rat, like a random rat, right?
Right. I'm with you there. Yeah. We are about an hour into the podcast at this point. We've discussed the quote-unquote worst part of Last Epoch. We talked about like our day one experience, Harbinger stuff, including boss arenas.
By the way, I just want to let everyone know, I fucking love this patch, okay? By the way. The only reason that we are bringing anything that is remotely negative.
How dare you be negative?
Harry asked, okay?
Yes.
We wanted, because if we were just here, you know, obviously, you know, like, given the game, you know, a bit of a, you know, the whole time, like, it'd be boring. Like, we do have to bring up some problems, like, even if it's minute, right?
Are you having a ton of fun with the current patch?
Yes, I am. I'm having so much fun with the current patch.
Okay. I love it.
I was slightly less excited after the 10th Bane of Winter brick, but you know, like, I'll get through it.
All right. So is there anything else that you would like to discuss? Like, you know, rambling, jumping from one topic to another topic. We haven't talked about my build yet. You want to ask me about my build?
It's bugged, so.
It's not bugged! In case anyone here is not following along on Twitch or on YouTube, I am playing a Serpent Venom, Serpent Strike, Swarmblade build. And it's not bugged. I am virtually positive that it's not bugged. Is it super OP? Yup. Can it kill the new Pinnacle boss in single player before he does his first attack? Also, yes. But like, is it bugged? No, I don't think it's bugged. Oh my god,
it's not bugged. It's just like we saw people one tapping T4 Jirla before with the build. If right. You want to explain that real quick.
So a year ago, Serpent Venom was almost identical to what it is right now. It just didn't have any quality of life. The more multiplier on Serpent Venom only worked against, or the important one, the abusable one. Only worked against monsters on full health or on
high health. Which was bad design, in my opinion.
Atrocious design. Because if they have stacks of poison on them, they're obviously not going to be at high health anymore because the poison ticks. So in the past, a community member, they do a couple videos on YouTube as well. Misha put out a build saying that Serpent Venom, the only thing that Serpent Venom can do, it can hardly kill a white monster, but it can one tap tier 4 Jewelra. So you stack up a whole bunch of poisons using Serpent's Milk, the unique amulet that gives your minions poison chance, but drastically reduces the poison damage for your minions. And you stack up a whole hundreds and hundreds of poisons, and then you go poke and boop, and the boss dies. So the interaction has been there. You might find yourself wondering, why is there no cap on it? Why is it two separate more multipliers? Why is it 3% more damage per stack on both of them? Like, there's plenty of questions you could ask yourself, what? But it's very unusual.
My question is, why does it have to be like this? Why does Serpent Strike have to be either dumpster tier or like instantly deleting Aberroth? Like, why can't we just live in a world back in the day where we could just put on Serpent Strike and like attack fast and do damage?
True.
Well, I miss those days. Those were so much simpler. Now it's just like it's either shit. Or it's golden, and I really don't like living in a world where it's like that.
Yeah, well, it's something. People have asked me, like, how do you level this build? How do you do loot filters for it? Like, can you league start this build? Yes, because I league started it. And like, it's something. The only thing that matters is defense. As long as you can stay alive, you're good.
I have a proposal. They keep the node how it is, but they add an extra line of text. They say up to a maximum of 5 poison / frostbite stacks per point of dexterity. So you have to stack dexterity. Obviously, they could change the numbers.
Sure,
right?
Sure. You want some kind of a dex identity.
Introduce a cap, but do it in a way that allows the player to choose their cap. Right?
Sure. Yeah, I don't mind it. Like, clearly... Yeah. So getting more damage based on vitality, cool, awesome, not OP. More damage based on melee critical strike chance, cool, really cool, not OP. Scaling more damage based on ailments that are applied to the enemy, especially on a build like Druid where you get access to a bunch of minions and thorn totems and stuff, that's so easy to abuse. Like, we're not even talking about multiplayer. There should be a cap.
Yeah.
I totally like the idea of having a cap that scales in dexterity.
Yeah. Or just scales in general, because if they were to like give us caps, I wouldn't mind like giving us a cap in a way that we get to like choose said cap.
Talk about the cap just real quick. So there was a change to Void Knight that I really want to highlight. something that I love the direction, because it's happened in a couple of different places in the last epoch over patch 1.1, is Void Knight used to get 75% increased damage as soon as you spec'd into your mastery. Melee void damage plus 75% increased, done. At level 15 as soon as you got it. The new one, it's a more multiplier, cool, but it's also 1% more per 3 vitality, which is so good. Like, it gives you an avenue for building damage on your character. It doesn't just give the damage to you. So, like, yeah, like you just recommended with dexterity, it gives you an avenue to scale dexterity. And all of a sudden, you want strength and dexterity and vitality and intelligence for your ward. All of a sudden, you're like, you know, 100.
You have to make choices, obviously.
Yeah, but that's good. I like that idea.
Well, you just put on Blood of the Exile and you're fine.
Maybe. but Blood of the Exile doesn't have the Fortify implicit that a Citadel boot does. Those Citadel boots are something. They're so
LP
good.
With it. Oh, wait, you're COF. Sorry.
COF. All right. So we're having fun. We're dumpstering bosses, each in our own way. Is there anything else that remains on your mind?
No.
Okay, so I guess the last thing for me is that we have a build contest coming up. We were going to announce the build contest. I was going to announce the build contest yesterday. I was under the weather, still kind of sick right now. But we're planning on doing I'm planning on doing build contest starting on Monday and going for a week after that. So tomorrow is Sunday. And tomorrow, if you're watching on stream, I'll be announcing what the unique item is going to be that we build around. Dread, I hope that you join me in whatever item that I introduce.
Of course, we'll see if I get to actually make the item.
Yeah, we'll see about it. So we're gonna announce that in about 24 hours time, or right now if you're watching this later on YouTube or Spotify. So if you are watching this YouTube, Spotify, or even in Twitch VODs, make sure you're letting us know where you're watching it, so we let you know, or so we can make sure that you're watching and viewing experience. And
make sure everyone comment down below about how they have a red ring and they're sorry for pairing.
Please don't flaunt your red rings at me. I'm not quite over it yet. I don't want to see pictures of them. We already have people in COF who have like multiple red rings, and they're like, yeah, I just used a Rune of Ascendance and then didn't drop it on the ground. Feels good, man. I'm gonna go kill some bosses and try to feel good about myself.
I'm gonna go farm favor till I actually hit this stupid Bane of Winter.
Cool, dude. I'll see you next time. Have a good one.
See ya.